Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business, and I'm here in London with Andy Hall, who is with the Migrant Workers Rights Network, which is in Thailand, and he has carried on some brilliant campaigns about the rights of migrant workers in the fishing industry and looking at other sectors as well. Andy, tell me, what took you to Thailand?
I was doing my PhD in Australia, and one of my close friends was a teacher from northern Thailand in Chiang Mai. So after I finished my PhD, I didn't know what to do. So I went to Thailand, and I found migrant workers and the difficulties they were facing.
And what were the difficulties you identified?
At that time, I was working with migrant workers in the construction industry and agriculture industry, and I was looking.
These were migrants from northern Thailand into Bangkok,
from Myanmar,
or from Myanmar.
Yeah,
okay,
from Myanmar,
so they were international migrants.
Yeah, and they were Shan ethnic in the north of Thailand, and they were working on construction sites and in agriculture projects. And I was doing a research project to map their occupational health and safety conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a lot of workers who had been poisoned by chemicals, but also one lady who was disabled from an accident at the Shangri-La hotel construction site in Chiang Mai, which was a 5-star hotel. And in order to get that lady compensation or access to justice, rehabilitation, treatment, we had to start a fight with the whole system of managing migrants in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was an irregular worker who'd come in irregular channels, and so she wasn't entitled to any of these benefits of a disabled person, like rehabilitation or compensation. And so in order to get her the compensation, we had to start a fight essentially with the whole social security system and the whole protection system. And then it kind of went into migration policy and things like that.
Does Thailand have good laws for migrant labor? Or so is it a question of there being bad laws or no laws, or is it a question of state not doing enough?
So we took a lot of strategic litigation against the government, including up to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Administrative Court about discrimination. So some of their social security laws are discriminatory in that they don't allow the migrant workers the full benefits when they're of a irregular state. But apart from that, most of the laws are equal. And they're very good on paper, but there's a lot of problems in enforcing the law because, you know, Thailand continues to be a country without rule of law.
Yes.
And systematic corruption. So.
And you, of course, had a problem with on a freedom of expression issue because you were dealing with, again, migrant labour, and you were sued for defamation. It was criminal defamation, if I remember well.
Like criminal defamation and
yes.
Computer crimes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how did that unfold? Because I understand that one of the European companies actually supported you.
Yes, so it was a case where I faced a lot of criminal and civil prosecutions. And in order to, you know, make the best out of that situation, I tried to find means by which I could get companies to support. So actually I was convicted and I was sentenced to 3 years in prison, which was suspended for 2 years, and I was fined, but the companies actually paid the fine. They paid for my bail and they also testified at my trial. So I used that case as a means to get companies to do positive things.
And this company was?
Oh, there's S Group in Finland, but also Thai Union, the Thai Tuna Industry Association, Chot Diwat, a number of different factories related to the seafood industry in Thailand, and also companies overseas. So they supported me during the trial process.
How exceptional is it? Do you think that this can be the trend in future, that a human rights defender who's in trouble is actually being defended and supported by a multinational company?
I think it's very sensitive for the companies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, there is a trend because companies are trying to find means to adhere to the UN guiding principles on business and human rights, particularly related to remedies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to find a way to adopt the remedies in these kind of situations and to support. And I think there's a lot more interest in that. And I think, you know, in many places in the world these days, limits of freedom of expression and the criminal prosecution of people for doing research or activism is not seen as acceptable. So.
Mm-hmm. How do you distinguish between an Asian company, a European company and an American company or a British or company, for example, just in terms of their approach towards these issues?
So I think that for me personally, the companies that are really leading in terms of transparency and in terms of like innovation, the Nordic companies, particularly from Finland, from Sweden, we're seeing a lot of very interesting and original things in the areas which I'm working in.
Mm-hmm.
We get very little response from UK companies, for instance, the Ethical Trading Initiative, their style. It's not to say they're not doing things, but we don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in 11 years of working in Thailand, I've never ever had a US company contact me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding that working with the Nordic companies has been much more positive.
Mm-hmm. And companies in Asia, have you dealt directly with them?
Yes, so in Thailand, yeah.
Right.
So we're working with the seafood federations and also with Thai Union, which is one of the biggest seafood companies in the world.
And are they supportive and cooperative or...?
Yeah, Thai Union is an industry leader, so we've got a zero recruitment service fee project,
uh-huh.
which we set up. So it's that's something that's happening globally. But our project was the first, and I think it still is the only project in Thailand whereby an NGO and a big corporation came together to implement a zero recruitment service fee project so that
mm-hmm.
the workers don't have to pay recruitment fees. So
right.
that is really innovative. And so we've been working together on that and also social dialogue projects. But on a company level, it's fine. But on an industry level, it's very, very challenging because the industries are not really moving forward. So.
Right. One final question. Your future plans, what are you busy with now?
So now I'm still thinking of a means to have some reconciliation with some of the challenges that have gone on in Thailand. I'm not sure whether that will be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also thinking now more about trying to find the means to work more with the private sector
mm-hmm.
because I'm very interested to learn more from the perspective of private companies. And
mm-hmm.
I do believe they're the people who can really make the change. And so I'd like to have maybe a certain period of time working for those kind of companies. But it depends if the opportunities arise.
Right.
Yeah.
All the best with your work and thank you for what you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.